Blog Talk Radio.
Hey folks, it's Coffee Break Radio with Sheila Harden, and I have a great interview today. I always say I'm excited, but I'm really excited about this one. She has a story about her ministry, and she was starting it, working on it, doing it, and didn't even know. Can you believe that? I think that is just so exciting how the Lord can sort of fool us into things, get us doing things, move us along, and we don't even know that it is a ministry and we're doing it right then. I just think it's so exciting. But before we go to that interview, we're going to get some fast food. And the first fast food for today is Psalm 143:8. Let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. So that's about listening, isn't it? Listening very closely to the Lord and hearing what he has to say to us. And sometimes we have to stop, slow down to listen. We can't be busy running here, running there, doing this, doing that, on a schedule, in a hurry to go somewhere to hear. We have to stop, quiet ourselves, and listen. The next fast food is Galatians 5:18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. So what exactly does that mean? Does that mean we don't have to obey the rules? What it means is that we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. The trick is to know where the Holy Spirit is, who the Holy Spirit is, when he's speaking to us. And that is a hard part. That is the hard part. And again, it's about going slow and listening and waiting and hearing. So today we are having an interview with a nurse named Jenny Herbacek. She was practicing nursing, married, had children, loved everything that was going on in her world. And all of a sudden, she heard the words that none of us want to hear. You have cancer. So she went back to the doctor, got further diagnosis, had treatment, did surgery. Her oncologist didn't want her to do radiation, but she went through many months of treatment and searching and trying to find out what she could do, where she needed to go. Did she need to do anything additionally? Oh, we're having a little bit of a glitch here. She is trying to get through and not able to get through on the phone. So I'll continue telling a little bit about her story. So through a series of circumstances, she found out about tests that are available to you and I that will tell us a lot about what's happening with our bodies with regard to cancer. And she got busy about researching these tests and was asking the question, why did I not know about this? Why was this not available to me? And she kept finding more and more and more about it. And hold on just one second. and decided to do more research, and I think she might be on the line right now. Are you there, Jenny?
I sure am. Thank you for having me.
Well, I'm glad you finally got connected.
I did. I was having to
ad-lib here, and it was really stretching my brain cells.
That is just fine. Evidently, you can't dial 9 and dial out because they have some kind of lock on these phone lines. So if the other phone rings, it's the front desk calling back. So we're just not going to answer.
Good idea. Okay, doll. Well, I told a little bit about your story, but I think it would be a whole lot better coming from you. I just mentioned that you were happily married with a family, and then all of a sudden you heard the words nobody wants to hear. So take it from there.
Yes, absolutely. That was back in 2009, and I ended up with a breast cancer diagnosis, and that was actually, you know, I thought I felt fine. I had no problem until they spoke those words to me, and I just thought, how could I be sick? I feel great. My labs are great. I go to the doctor every year. This makes no sense. So I'd asked them, you know, how long have I had this? Because I expected them to say, oh, just a few months. But they said, no, you've had it 7 to 10 years. And I thought, this is crazy. I don't understand this. You want to amputate body parts. And I was like, Lord, how can this be happening? You know, it was a nightmare. But it brought back a memory that years ago, 10 years ago, I had been at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Arkansas, and a gentleman had come up to me and spoken a prophetic word over me that just came through to me at that time, and it was that there was a work I would do for the Lord, and I would have a healing ministry. And here I'm being told I have cancer, and you can imagine how that kind of shook my world.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, when I was told I had cancer, I thought, well, Lord, I don't know what this work is, and I certainly don't know much about healing because I just hadn't had much experience with it, and it's not looking so good right now. So anyway, and you know, and Sheila, a work, that's a strange word. I don't use that word, a work, W-O-R-K. And when this gentleman came up to me, picked me out of, you know, he was coming around the room, and he just stopped and spoke this over me, and I thought, this is really weird. No one had ever done this before. And I just, that was 10 years prior, and I just let it, I didn't reject it. I didn't go, oh, I've got to go do this. I just kind of went, oh, okay. So I ended up deciding that through this whole journey that people, we can put men on the moon. I mean, we can send a, you and I are on a phone talking. You know, we're not together. Why can we not find cancer until it's been growing for 7 to 10 years? It made no sense to me. So I started doing a lot of research, and it took me 3 years, and I ended up, the more stuff I would find out, I was like, be calling everyone I knew. You got to get this test. You need this test. You don't want to wait for the lump or bump. You don't want to get cancer. You don't need this fear because you don't have to die. Body can heal. Find it early. And anyway, I was spending my life on the telephone. My husband would just shudder when he would see the phone ring, and it'd be dinner time, and it'd be some poor, precious person that was just desperate, looking for help. So I ended up investing a lot of money, got an editor, and I wrote a book. So I wrote the book, Cancer Free, Are You Sure?, to help people know how they can find cancer really early, years before they would even require any surgery or radiation. And so one day I'm driving down the freeway. I do a lot of integrative things, and I was actually going to get an IV vitamin C, and I had on our local radio station, and it's a Christian, contemporary, and I was just singing along, and it just popped into my head, this word from years ago that I hadn't really thought much of, and I said, Lord, I hope that whatever that work is that you have me to do someday, that I do it, because I was still kind of battling cancer, and he said very loudly in the car, a voice said, the book was the work. And I'm telling you, I got chills.
Oh my gosh!
I got chills because a book is a work. It is a body of work, and I had no idea when I was doing it that I had done it. And like even just telling the story now makes me just, you know, I'm not smart enough to make this up. So the Holy Spirit is so good. I did it, and then He confirmed me. He told me after I did it when I asked the question. I should have asked it much sooner. you know, but it didn't occur to me that I was doing anything important. But I really believe that the Lord, I know he hates cancer. I know we can find it early. The information's being suppressed. And I really believe he had given this assignment to many people who didn't do it. I was just the one to actually get out there and put this message on paper. And so I'm the one that did it. I think that there's work for everyone to do. And if we just, you know, sometimes we think, oh, that's too much work. But, you know, we're all here for the kingdom and we're all here to help people. And and it's not a desire for anyone, you know, to be sick and suffer. And so that was the first prophetic thing that someone said to me. And it actually, I heard the voice say the book was the work. So that was
the audible word of God. People don't hear that very often.
No, and I have like four stories with this book. It's incredible. I know that he wants this information revealed.
Tell the story.
Okay, so I end up I've written the book. I'm driving down the freeway. The Lord tells me the book was the work. So I'm kind of I was actually in tears by the time I got to my infusion. I've got a tissue, and I'm told the nurse, you're never going to believe this. So I told her the story, and she's a Christian, and she was like, oh, wow, that's great. And, you know, she didn't question me 1 minute. So the book goes off to be printed. And here I'm as far as, you know, being able to be invited to speak somewhere, I'm kind of a nobody. Nobody knows me. I'm just a person that lives in a little town of 70,000 people in Texas. And I go on a cruise with my husband and another couple, and we're over in Vietnam, and we're traveling, and we're seeing parts of the world. And I, you know, how you get on your internet, you know, once a day. I got on there, and I got this email, and it said, "Hey, it was from someone I know. They contacted me, and you're going to be invited to speak at this big cancer conference on, I believe it was like March 23rd, and it was like this was 2 years ago. And that, you're not going to believe this. That was the day my book was being released." And I thought,
oh my goodness.
So I thought, my book isn't even out yet. And it's certainly not a bestseller, but the Lord just confirmed again by having me speak at that conference on the day that it was released. In fact, the first time I saw the books were when a box was shipped from the printing house here to the hotel. I'm actually at the same hotel today. And so I went and picked them up out of the little, I paid the fee to get them out of Hawks in the little room in the back where they received the things. And I got to see my book, and I got to speak to several hundred people the day that it came out. So I was like, this just doesn't happen. I was just floored. But I have another funny story. We were flying from Singapore, I think, to Tokyo, and then from Tokyo on to Houston. So we're flying on that first leg of the flight, and they come on board and they say, the flight to Houston's been canceled. We've booked everyone for the following day. And I thought, I told my husband, I said, I can't stay here in Tokyo, because he was like, hey, we haven't seen Tokyo. We get to spend a day here. They're going to put us in a hotel. And I'm like, no, I got to get home and I got to repack. I got to be in San Diego in 36 hours. I can't be here. So I told him, I said, you get me on any plane, get me back to the mainland United States, and I will make my way to San Diego, because I knew I was supposed to be there. I mean, I didn't even ask to speak. People had like were like, it was hard to get a speaking engagement at this conference, and it was clearly a God thing. Clearly a God thing. So do you want me to go on? I mean, this whole thing is
incredible. Do go on, because it's important to see what miracles come out of ministry, and what
miracles
are associated with ministries. It's because they're everywhere.
And I need to go back and just preface that. I didn't have a ministry. That wasn't my real calling. I was a nurse years ago, and my husband was in the mayor of our local town. And so, you know, I was raising my kids, and we went to church on Sunday, and, you know, that was pretty much it. You know, I did some Bible studies, but I didn't know anything about any of this. So I'm just learning, and it's like every day I just love Jesus more, because he's so good to me. Through all the bad, he's taken what was meant for my harm, and he used it, because he knew I would be passionate enough and love other people as he loves them to try and get this message out. So another interesting story. So I'm at this conference, and I have my book, and I don't know if you guys know who Ty Bollinger is, but he's a guy that puts out information on cancer. And back then he was really just starting, and I saw him, and I just thought I was supposed to go up to him and give him one of my books, because he wasn't talking about detection. He was just talking about all these different therapies and things you could do. And so I went up and I gave him the book. And he said, oh, he goes, nobody's written a book like this. And I said, no, and I wish I had had it, you know, when I was diagnosed in 2009. I could have saved me 6 surgeries and a bunch of radiation. And, you know, I just want people to get this message. And he said, well, I might want to interview you. So I thought, oh, that would be cool. Mm-hmm. So he goes, I'll call you later this afternoon. Well, the afternoon came and went. He didn't call. And so about 10:30 that night, I'm laying in bed in my hotel room. And I'm kind of starting to pout. And I was like, wow, Lord, I thought you were going to have me go speak, you know, to him. And I guess not. And then my cell phone goes off. Beep, beep. So I jump out of bed and I go look. And it's him. And he says, could you be on camera tomorrow at 3:30, whatever the time was. I was so excited. So I went. I got to share my message. And so now I'm in the Global Quest for the Cure. So people get to hear me. His program is very, very popular. People buy it all over. So I'm in episode 3 and 4, and there's just the fact that I'm in there alongside the names of the people that are in there that are doing amazing work. That's just another God thing. That's all I can say.
And you're speaking to the world. It's the whole world, because all of his stuff is on YouTube.
Right. It is. It is. So it is. That was just so much fun.
Yes. Oh, that's just fabulous. Fabulously miraculous.
Okay.
Let me ask you, how did you know?
I have more then.
Oh, you have more stories?
I have more stories.
Oh, well, go.
I have 2 more things that are incredible. Okay, so while I'm at that conference, I went back to my room and I was just praying and I was saying, Lord, I don't know anything about filming and I'm not that good a speaker. So can you just let my words flow and let me just not make any mistakes and just let it go well. So I did that, and I went over and I did the interview. Right then, before I was walking out the door at the hotel room to go over to meet him for the interview, it just struck me that, wow, what I have done could really change the way the world detects cancer.
Mm-hmm.
If people know this information, we won't be waiting for the biopsy and the lumps and bumps. We can find it super early, and this will change the way the world detects cancer. So I go and I do the interview, and I'm telling you, it was so much fun. It's like I could feel the anointing on me while I'm sitting there. It was just, if you've ever felt like you're doing something that you're supposed to do, like you know you're supposed to do it, and it just flows, the words come out of your mouth. It was just joy. So I do that. I finish the convention. I go home, and I'm unpacking my bag, and I'm standing in my bathroom, probably in my pajamas, and I said, Lord, wow, this book could really change the way the world detects cancer. And he corrected me, and he said, no, because I said, you know, this. I guess the way I said it was, you know, what I'm doing could change the way the world detects cancer.
Uh-huh.
He said, no, I want to change the way the world detects cancer. And I had to just repent. I was like, oh, my gosh, of course you do. I'm just the message. I'm just the messenger.
Uh-huh.
So every day I'm like, okay, don't let me mess up. So anyway, I have one more incredible thing that happened with this. So this has all happened. I mean, the book only came out about 2.5 years ago, and I'm not even sure my book was out yet when I went. I was asked to speak at a church in San Antonio, Texas, Compassion Church. And so I went and I didn't know, but I was the sermon. That's the first and only time I've been the sermon. So I did that. And I went to the back of the church afterwards, and Pastor Compton was there, and I was shaking people's hands and greeting them, and he said to me, Jenny, have you got your TV show yet? And I said, what? And I just turned around and I looked at him, and I thought, what an odd thing to say. And I thought he was joking, but, you know, when someone says something really weird to you, like off, you know, completely off, you know, the radar, I'm not that witty. I didn't know what to say. So I just kind of shook my head and ignored him. So back in September, just a few months ago, I was out in Florida, and Pastor Compton's getting married. And I thought, oh, I'm here early. I'm going to run over to the mall and buy him a gift. So I got the gift, and I thought, you know, I should call him and just tell him it's coming, that he could look for the package on his porch in a couple of days. So I'm paying, and I'm getting my phone out to call him. And the Holy Spirit said, I mean, so clearly, just dropped this into me. ask him about when he asked you if you had your TV show yet. And I just, I stood there at the counter, and the lady, and I'm trying to give her my credit card, and I'm thinking, I haven't thought about that in since the day it happened, 2 years ago. I mean, I all of a sudden I remembered him saying that to me. So I thought, well, I'm going to call him anyway. I'll see how the conversation goes. So I called his cell phone, and he answered. And I said, hey, it's Jenny, and I'm, you know, we're not going to be able to make the wedding, and I'm sending a gift, and just, you know, look for it, and we wish you all the best. And I said, but since I have you on the phone, I have a question. And he said, sure. I said, actually, I want to ask you if you remember saying something to me. And he said, okay. So I said, do you remember asking me if I had got my TV show yet? And I'm telling you, Sheila, he immediately said, oh, yeah, I remember. Like he remembered brushing his teeth that morning.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, I have another question. I said, why did you say that to me then? If you remember, this is so clear to you. He goes, oh, well, the Holy Spirit just showed me a vision, open vision, that I guess in the back of the church when I was back there, of me on the set of a TV show. And that's how he interpreted it. So I said, oh, my. And I think I did cry there in Dillard's or Macy's, wherever I was.
Uh-huh.
My eyes just filled with tears, and because this is what I'm doing, and I'll tell you in a few minutes, it's so much work, and it's just a lot of work and a lot of stress and putting this together for people, and the Holy Spirit is so good; He gave me confirmation. So I told Pastor Compton, I said, "Hang on, I'm going to hang up, and I'm going to send you some pictures." So I hung up the phone and I pulled up my pictures in my iPhone, and I had a bunch of pictures of me on set, and just to premise that is, I had another gentleman that came up to me that told me the Lord told him that I was to do this thing that's now Cancer Free University. I was to be the moderator, and I looked at him like he was crazy. I'm like, I am not a TV person. I am a nurse and a mother, and I'm not even nursing anymore. But anyway, so I ended up doing it, obviously. So I sent him 3 or 4 pictures, and I'm standing there in you know, the China department, and it sends me a text back, and he says, exactly what the Lord showed me.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my goodness.
If anyone out there is wondering if they're doing the right thing, you know, sometimes you get confirmation in the strangest, unexpected ways. You know, there was nothing that I ever expected to get that day at that time standing in the department store.
Mm-hmm.
But it just happened. So I think if every day you pray, Lord, use me, put me in the right place, I give you my life, I guarantee you He will.
Yes, 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 yes.
I guarantee you He will.
Well,
you know, and unfortunately, it took me to get cancer for me to get to that point to where I didn't want anyone to go through what I went through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think if I hadn't gotten cancer, I probably wouldn't ever be on this path. I know I wouldn't be on this path. It wouldn't have happened. But we are toxic. We're deficient. Our environment is so, you know, so it's just not healthy for us. And I didn't know any better. And, you know, the result is cancer, arthritis, autoimmune disease, you know, everything else.
And what the enemy meant for evil, the Lord can use for good.
He really did. That's all I can say. Because now I'm moderator of this incredible cancer-free university. And it's just become a living, breathing thing. And it's, you know, I update it and be sending out new interviews with experts and scientists and physicians that are actually treating cancer in an integrative way. And they're helping and healing testimonies and miracle testimonies. I just want to pinch myself because I can't believe I'm doing this.
Yeah, how wonderful. Well, the Lord is working in a mighty way in your life, that's for sure. I have one question for you. When you first started on this, how did you know where to go to find the information about the tests, or how did you even know how to find out about the tests?
Well, you know, that's a whole other story. I really feel the Lord directed my steps because I had 6 surgeries. I had drains. They were talking about skin grafts because surgery wasn't looking like it would work well. And I'll just tell everyone I had a mastectomy with reconstruction, and they put in these tissue expanders. And I'm laying in the bed at the hospital, and I had drains coming out of both sides, and I had a morphine pump. And I just, you know, I'd prayed, Lord, just please let the cancer go away so I don't have to have this surgery. you know, just heal me. And he didn't. And I got the surgery, and there I'm laying in this bed, and they're telling me all the skin on my chest has turned gray, and they're going to have to get skin off my back and rebuild my chest. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what did I do? I should have just gone on to heaven, you know. It's better than this. And I was so exhausted, I didn't have the strength to pray. So all I could say was help. So my church friends came. They prayed for me. My plastic surgeon. I never thought I would have a plastic surgeon. Anyway, if you need one, they're good people to know, okay? And I needed one.
Yes.
So he says to me, Jenny, I don't see patients more than once in a day. And he'd been in my room like 3 times that day because it was really not looking well. Uh-huh. And they were making plans to remove the skin and do skin grafts. And so he comes in the next day in the evening, like on his third visit to see me. And he stands at the foot of my bed, and he's not Christian, and he looks above his reading glasses at me. And he says, my dear, I don't know what you were doing, but those prayers are working. Because the skin just came back over the next 2 days, and it was
Praise
no longer
God.
Gray and black, and I'd never had to have any skin graft. So, and actually, it's funny because my surgeon had 2 twins, and I was at her office like a year later, and her boys were in the office, and she said, boys, this is the lady that y'all were praying for. And I said, don't pray for me. And she said, she's the one that had the skin all over her chest that was dying. So anyway, so, you know, I did that. So I didn't go into gray hair. I didn't know any better. I did surgery. I did chemotherapy after this. I had no hair. And then I went to a breast cancer support group that I actually helped put together at the Methodist Hospital in Sugar Land. And at that first meeting, all the ladies, there were about 50 people there that night, and there were a couple of men with breast cancer, and they went around and everyone told their story and what was going on with them. And this was another shocking time where I realized that more than half the people in that room were told they were cancer-free, but now they had had a recurrence and the cancer was back.
Mm-hmm.
And they were wearing scarves, and they had pink rhinestone mugs, and they had bags, and they were rating how wonderful their doctors are. But yet they had mouth sores, and they were so thankful so-and-so was coming to clean their house and bring meals over. And I literally turned my head over my shoulder, and I looked at my back, and I said, Lord, do I have a target on my back or what? Because I was told the same thing. I was cancer-free. And I just thought, somebody's not being truthful, and I don't like that. So
yeah.
When that happened, I thought, I've got to get out of this. I'm not going to be like those people. If it happened to them, it could happen to me. So I got in my car, and I'd heard about this clinic in Dallas. And so I walked in there, and I just said, hey, because I was over Houston. I'd been to MD Anderson. I'd been to Texas Oncology. I'd been to all these premier oncology. I was done.
Mm-hmm.
And so I drove to another city, got an appointment at a healing, you know, integrative health center. And I just said, hey, I would like to build up my immune system. And the doctor said, oh, well, why? And I said, well, I had cancer. And he goes, really? And I said, yeah, I'm cancer-free. And he said, are you sure? And that's the name of my book, Cancer-Free, Are You
yeah.
Sure? And
yeah.
I said, well, yeah. And he said, how are you sure? And I said, well, because I have clean surgical margins and a clean PET scan. Well, anyway, through the testing that he did, I found out I was not cancer-free. I was just like those ladies. I was in a predicament waiting with these cells that were circulating in my bloodstream where they can just move from the breast to another organ. And that's what happens with people. They, no one tells them about these cells. You go back to, you know, eating your, Chick-fil-A or whatever you're eating that's not agreeing with you and not exercising as much and eating processed food, you get back on the same path and you're going to end the same place.
Right.
So with that, just from that appointment, I realized, okay, there's more out here. So I started attending conferences. I got my checkbook out. I bought airline tickets. I rented cars. And I just started going to integrative health cancer conferences. And I started learning. And I went in the exhibit halls. And because I was a nurse, that was a little bit of a help to be able to get in there because the public can't get in. And then I just put this book together because it's amazing that this information is out there and the general public is not being told it. And you don't have to wait for the lump or bump, but that's what we do in our health system. We wait for you to have the diagnosis, the full-blown symptoms before they treat that. And I really want it to be in health.
And I think the general public,
can heal.
Right. The general public believes if the doctor says they're cancer-free, then they no longer have to worry. And nobody's
right.
acknowledging the fact that if your lifestyle's the same, the lifestyle is really what created the cancer. And if you haven't
right.
changed the lifestyle, you're going to get it again.
Right. Right.
It's not
right.
going to be in your breast if your breasts aren't there anymore, but it's going to be somewhere
right.
else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I think I told Ty Bowens, I said, all I did was keep the cancer, breast cancer from coming back in the tissue that went in the trash can. And
uh-huh.
that's one of the little quotes from me that he put in his quest for the global cure. But it's true. And I don't want to sow fear into anyone but what we want to do is sow knowledge that God gave us an amazing world here. But it's a world of order. There's gravity. There's H2O that makes water, it evaporates. I mean, everything is very orderly. And we are meant to live within the constraints of our environment that he created for us. You know, when the astronauts go up in the space shuttle, they're out of gravity and they come back and they have to put a Schumann resonance machine in there because the cells don't like being out of the magnetic pull of the Earth and the gravity. Because he made this beautiful place for us to live, but we have polluted it over the years for money. Companies are making food that is not food. I used to think things were food because it was in the grocery store and it was in a box or a package and it had a little package thing on the side about carbohydrates and sugar and calories. That's not food. If you look up the definition of food in the dictionary, food is something that gives nutrition to a living organism. And these things have no nutrition in them. In fact,
right.
you're pulling your nutritional stuff to try and digest these things. And I tell people you cannot go in the garage, put the garage door down, start the engine, and pray, Lord, don't let me die of carbon monoxide poisoning. You're going to die because He created our lungs to need oxygen.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, that's just the way it is. So we have to respect that. And in today's world, it takes a little bit of extra, attention and discernment and the ability to push back and say, you know what, thank you, but I'm not going to eat that because we have to take care of our bodies. Because just because you don't eat enough protein doesn't mean your cells don't need that protein. You're going to get protein deficient. You know, if you don't get enough vitamin D, the cells don't operate correctly.
That's right. I have a friend who eats terribly, and I said to him, you love your cars. Would you put diesel fuel in your Lexus?
No.
And he
or
looked
would
at me.
You put turpentine on your brand new table that you just bought at
right,
the furniture
right.
store.
Right, and he looked at me, and I said, that's what you're doing when you eat that stuff.
Right, right.
He said, okay,
right.
point
you
taken.
Know what? You know what? Because we are taught to respect authority, and when you see something that you on a menu or whatever, you would assume that it's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew we had to vet everything that we do, and that we drink, and that we breathe? And if you go in a hotel and the room's all musty and nasty, get out of there. It's not worth breathing in mold for 24 hours.
That's right.
You hate to complain, but. It might take you 6 months to get rid of all that mold that you're exposed to.
If we don't listen to it, I think that's the Holy Spirit speaking to us.
Right, right, right. It really does. Idle chatter leads to poverty. That's a proverb. So I say, don't just chatter about doing things. Do it. Do it, and you'll be blessed. And the word of God and creation cannot come back void. If you drop a ball, you have a ball or an egg in your hand, you drop it, it's going to go to the ground. I mean, we have rules of creation. You give the cells what they need, and they're not. You give them the nutrition, and you help them detoxify. They will function the way they were created to. We just have a lot of gunk, that's gunking up our system, and we're not aware of it. And I don't want people to get to where I got before they figure that out.
Now, if people are interested in finding out more, they want to get a copy of your book, they want to hear more about cancer, is Cancer Free University, how do you have a website that you can
I do. I have two websites.
Know about?
So one is cancerfreeuniversity.com. And I can give people a code, it's cancerfree50, and that's $50 off if you register for that. And if you know someone that's been recently diagnosed with cancer or they've gone through treatment and they just want to learn information, this it's an online on-demand resource. With right now, I think I have like 65 experts, and I've got three more I'm filming next month. And I'm going to be continually adding to this, you know, throughout the year, so that if something new comes out, there you can go and pull it up. Or if you, you can email me and say, hey, get an interview on this posted, because this is your chance to hear from the experts that you probably couldn't even get to, you know, being from the public to begin with. So that's cancerfreeuniversity.com. And then my website is cancerfreeareyousure.com. And it's just all spelled out, cancerfreeareyousure.com. And you spell out the A-R-E and the Y-O-U. And my book's on Amazon. And I just wish everyone
abundant
health.
And what's the name
health.
Of your book again?
Oh, Cancer Free, Are You Sure?
Okay. And can they contact you? Mm-hmm. Can they contact you through your websites?
Absolutely.
If they want
there's
you to come and speak
there.
Or any.
Sure, there's a little link on there to contact me. And they come through. I have about three people to respond to right now since I've arrived here. So if I don't get back to you in that day, don't panic, because I try and clear that out at the end of every week.
Well, what a wonderful story you have. What a wonderful story you have.
You know what? It's fun right now. It wasn't fun when I was going through it. And I really, it made me kind of shake my faith a little bit, because I thought, oh, my goodness, you know, if healing is the children's bread, why am I missing it? You know, why am I missing it? But I didn't miss it. It's just I couldn't see through the fog. And I had too many wrong beliefs and too much bad stuff around me that I wasn't discerning, that things weren't good for me. So anyway, I tell everybody, you can have abundant health. You're going to have to work at it a little bit. But it's definitely worth it. And God will use you if you ask Him every day to use you.
There is that scripture passage, people perish for lack of knowledge. And
yes.
I think that's very true.
It is. It is. And I think it's, you know, it's used a lot, but we think the problem with us humans is we think we know it all. And
uh-huh.
we're stubborn and we don't like to make change. You know, usually it takes a reason to make a change. You know, okay, I need to lose weight. I'm overweight. My pants don't fit. So now I'm going to change that. You know, or you're starting to cough, so maybe I shouldn't smoke. I mean, we usually have to hit a bump in the road before we change a direction, because until you get a symptom, you think everything's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have to do that. And unfortunately, in today's world, it's so important to not get down so low, because it's harder and harder to climb up. You know, the longer you wait.
Yes. Thank you so much for visiting with us today. And I just know that the Lord is going to do more great things in your life. And I know that many, many people are going to hear this information, and it will bless them in a mighty way.
Yes. Well, He's willing, and so am I, so because He's here for all of us. I just, it makes me smile to think about Him. And then I don't even know what to say. I just love Jesus. He's just done so many good things for me, and He will for you too.
Yes, praise God for that. Well, God bless you, and we'll be speaking to you soon.
Yes, thank you. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.